wonderful conversations going on, but we've got to get on with our worship this morning. Sunday school teacher was talking to her class, and little girls talked about how Jonah was swallowed by the whale, and teacher just, no, no, that cannot be. The whale would be big enough, but the throat of the whale is very small, too small for the for a human to get through the throat of the whale, and that's just a myth. And so the little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah about that. And she said, and what if he's not in heaven? What if he's in hell? And the little girl said, then you can ask him. Okay, let's begin ourselves this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We see it every day. We see it in our lives. And Father, we just praise you for the God you are. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Now, in the 1800s, Hebert died, he was 42 years old. But before he died, he was in Oxford and did very well in Oxford. And he wrote the hymn we're going to sing this morning, the number one hymn in your hymnal, Holy, Holy, Holy. So let's stand and sing in regard to our sovereign, loving kindness, God.
Holy, holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed
attention to the first announcement. This Wednesday evening, it's coming Wednesday, at 7 o'clock, we're going to throw a birthday party for Jim Langston. He will be 80. He'll be 82 years old. And anybody that sticks on this earth that long deserves a party. So, 7 o'clock, we're going to have some refreshments and a party and sing happy birthday. And I don't know if we'll have speeches or not. We'll see. But please try to set in your schedule to be here. You do not have to stay for this class. I'll take names at the back. Who leaves? No, just kidding. But please plan on coming Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And as I said, we'll have refreshments. And we'll just have a wonderful birthday party for Jim Langston. Now, having mentioned his name, how are you doing? Much better. Are you able to sleep a little better? Good. Very good. That's been our prayer, that you get some sleep and feeling better. Okay. Anel, is he doing better?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Let's see. Any prayer requests? We have any prayer? Yes.
I have one from my friend Sherry Schmidt. Some time ago, we had prayed for her about the strokes that she had had. She's the one that had had 2 bleeding strokes.
Yes.
This happened back in September, but I didn't learn about it until a couple of weeks ago. She and her husband were in Austin visiting a friend in the hospital, and as she, Ken let her out, and as she was walking in to go to the inside, a lady swerved and hit her. Another lady saw it. It said she just went flying through the air. It jammed Sherry's knee down into her leg, broke her leg. She has played in that. And she was in rehab for 8 weeks. So she is still dealing with that.
Wow.
And I said, that's on top of a lady who has survived 2 bleeding strokes.
Mm-hmm. We'll be in prayer. Thank you very much.
It's going to be a long...
Yep, be a long process. Yeah. Please, Lord, we'll be in prayer. Yes, sir.
A couple of prayer requests. A young couple that lives across the street from my parents up in Indiana. The wife, Shannon, has brain cancer, has a tumor. It's very aggressive. They've got 3 young kids. The husband, they're believers. They come over and take care of my mom and dad every once in a while and check on them. And they're a wonderful couple. They don't know that she's going to come home from the hospital at this point, but God is the healer and the decider. So please be in prayer for Shannon, Rick, and their family. And then I've got a lady who works for me. Her daughter, who's 16, tried to take her own life this past week. We've had a few conversations with regards to that. And it's been an opportunity for me to talk to this lady. But her name is Tricia. The little girl's name is 16-year-old girl's Emma. The mom is Tricia. So we would pray for that family.
Pray for the gospel and for God to work His loving kindness on their lives. That's very good. Thank you very much. Okay, go ahead.
February, we're going to turn that into... I didn't ask permission, but I'm assuming you're okay with that. Everyone loves a good chili. So, we're going to have... we'll have 6 pots of chili going. It'll be a little competition. If anybody's interested, Mr. Langston, you just need to let me know. I know you've...
Yeah, eat it.
If you're interested in some chili cooking or not, but if not, we have we're gonna have 6 pots of chili out here. Love for everybody to come join us. They'll be part of the communion, break bread together, eat chili together, and support the youth group. So bring your chili, bring your appetite, bring your checkbook. All of them are welcome. So we'd love to have you as part of that deal.
Very good.
Yes.
As an additional fundraiser, I would be very happy to buy more of the winter so and have it like in my freezer.
Yeah.
So they don't have to just enjoy it on the one day.
All right.
People are willing to do that. That's something I would.
So maybe what we'll do is we'll get a winter and then you can buy a.
I'll just make 2 pots in anticipation.
I think this year Phil may be eating chili for a week. I have a feeling it's going to be happening. But yes, we will figure out how to. I will bring back next week a plan for how we're going to do that.
I might interject. Sometimes your winner is not the winner, so it's a little extra.
Oh.
You might have one that you
there
like.
There you go. So maybe we'll auction off some chili.
That's a wonderful
the following
that
week has come out.
If the people are willing to make additional.
Martha, don't you like the white one better?
I want you to make the
church one.
Yes, the church does. Thank you.
I've been tempted to go to Wendy's.
Thing of Wendy's chili and have it as the mystery chili. And anyway,
it certainly is a mystery.
Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to that. Very good. Thank you. Now, Martha, did you have a prayer request?
Yes, my mom is really struggling. She's fallen a couple of times because she doesn't want to use her walker and she doesn't want to use her cane. So she's gotten some little hairline fractures now around her pelvis. And, of course, what they're telling her is to sit down and rest, which she's not very good at. So she's in quite a bit of pain. They've given her some shots and stuff, but she's anxious and fussing.
I've got to ask this, that you brought it up.
Because I see it advertised on TV. Did you buy that little thing that they tell them to? Okay.
And now it's really cool. It's built into the. You can get the Jitterbug phone that has the one button also for the.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My sister Kathy and her husband Tracy Crane need prayer. God knows the prayer. Just pray for them.
Okay. And seeing you, how did the girl, the little babies doing?
Fantastic. Gosh, they're 3 months old and they're finally wearing 0 to 3 month old clothes. Yeah, they're catching up.
Good.
They're doing really well. So, mom's doing good.
Yes. All right.
Those were slow. So, this is our first appointment with the cardiologist. I finally got him to go. And so, anyway, just pray. I really don't feel it. We don't think he's having any issues, but this is to prevent any issues. You know what I mean? It's staying on top of it. Yeah. So this is our first appointment with the cardiologist.
Absolutely.
At Medical City?
No, we're doing it at Baylor.
The heart hospital.
Good. Not the heart hospital, but one of the little sub-hospitals.
Yeah, but that way they have connections.
Yeah.
Very good.
I just want to ask for Javi, our Spanish exchange student. He's in Canada with a French class from Wiley High School right now, and they come back Tuesday night, so safety for their trip. You guys will just continue to pray for him with the gospel and just working on him with that. And then just want to ask for prayers for our seniors, Ben and all that group of seniors, part of Liberty. Those guys are asking for prayers every week at youth group for just decisions they have to make about their future. You know, what they're going to do after graduation, it's really weighing on them. And we talk about that a lot and just trusting the Lord and waiting on Him. And that He will not forsake you or abandon you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will be there. So you guys will just keep them in your prayers. It's a big time for them in their life. Mm-hmm. And just trust in the Lord. And
absolutely. Now, along with the chili
cook-off, how's the plans for Slam Camp coming?
We are starting to put those together. The apps are out. Application is out for the kids to join. We've got... I think it's going to be awesome. So
good.
Bill and I are going to start talking about what the plan looks like, teaching wise.
You got your telephone ready?
I've got to talk to him about what we're going to talk about. I have, yeah.
So we're planning on planning.
You sound like politicians.
Blue Ribbon Committee.
May I just add one thing?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit does amazing things when the two of them start planning on
it. Absolutely. Very good.
I would like to pray. I have everybody pray for my husband that is going
to
have a pacemaker the first week in February.
Oh,
because you need prayer.
Thank you, Judith.
When is that, Judith?
It's February the 3rd, Herman. Is it the 3rd or the Monday?
4th.
Monday.
4th, yeah.
Day
yeah.
After two.
Yeah. Right. Oh, so you're out of chili. Yeah, you're
out of
chili.
I need those. I just ate 6 different kinds of chili. The heart burner.
Right.
Are there any other prayer requests?
April the 8th. There will be a very important vote in Israel. Please be in prayer for God's move in Israel in regard to Netanyahu. And he gets the same kind of attacks, no matter what he does, from the opposite party that Trump gets here. So please be in prayer for the election in Israel on April the 8th, after which, or maybe even before, President Trump is due to announce a peace agreement for the Middle East. So I think it might be a precursor to the one talked about in Daniel. I don't know that, but just maybe. But interesting things are going to be happening in 2019 in the Middle East. So please be in prayer in that regard. Please be in prayer for President Trump and Vice President Pence at this time, all the time, really every day. Please don't forget Wednesday, 7 o'clock, have a birthday party. Very important one. So please put that on your schedule. And I'm very serious. If you can't stay for the class, that's fine. Just come be part of the party and honoring our good friend Jim Langston. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give it grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. People, we don't have that big of a budget, but we're falling behind in meeting that budget. When I talk with Jim Passmore, I'm going to set up a congregational meeting for a financial report, for him to give a financial report here. So, just as I said, we don't have that many things, but we have many opportunities. The internet, missionaries, young people, just so many things that we have. God has given this humble assembly to do and to spread in the gospel and the teaching of the Word of God. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your loving kindness as demonstrated to this assembly. We stand amazed at all the opportunities you give to us. The internet, young people, missionaries, and our own assembly right here. We pray, Father, you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue using this assembly in the spreading of the gospel, spreading of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Does anyone not have the handout, Lessons from the First Marriage? Anyone not have a copy? All right. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Going back to Genesis, and therefore we're going to need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to have a correct understanding of the Word of God. Let us pray. How grateful we are for the God that you are, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us, that we might know you, pray to you, have an intimate relationship with you, and understand, Heavenly Father, your plan for all times in dealing with marriage. We pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things that are in the truth of your Word. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, lessons from the first marriage. Next Sunday, we're finally going to get to wives, submit yourself. I've been putting it off, ladies, as long as I can, but next Sunday we're going to have to address that very important phrase. But by way of introduction, Let's look at the first marriage, and we're going to find out this morning why and where it started that the wife is to be submissive to her husband. But let's start off with Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "Not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God's motivation for the creation of the first woman is found in verse 18. God, the Lord God, that's Yahweh from the Hebrew word, a verb to be, to exist. Elohim, and plural, literally gods. Teaching of the Trinity. God said, "It is not good." This is an emphatic negation. Please remember that this is the way God designed and created the original man. So, whatever is not there was not there by his creation. That's what I want you to see here. Because he has created, designed and created, and now God said, not good, that he should be alone. So, it's an emphatic negation. Before man was in need of a savior, he was in need of a woman. And so, let's also note carefully the context of Genesis chapter 1, where in verse 31, God declared that God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. But wait a minute. Genesis 2:18, he declares, not good. People, this is why you have to pay attention to the context. That's Genesis 1, verse 31. Look at Genesis 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Sexual distinction. He created them. So, verse 27 talks about the creation of the woman. And then verse 31, it was good. Very good. Okay. Now, back to Genesis 2:18. For the man to be alone. Remember that he is in the Garden of Eden with all the animals God has created. Yet he was alone. So far as one of his own species without a helpmate corresponding to him. God saw it and said, "I will make." The Hebrew means just that. To make, to construct, performing an activity with a distinct purpose in view. Every aspect of the female body, every aspect of her soul was designed by God for a distinct purpose in mind, namely in her relationship to the man. I will make him, Adam, a helper, one who helps, suitable, one worthy of him, one corresponding to him, for him, not for any other creature, just for him, a helpmate corresponding to him. Now, as we go through this, if you have any questions, raise your hand. I'm not going to dwell in this for hours like we could, just noting the flow of this. Okay, let's note some points. Point one, God made this statement when man was in the state of innocence and in perfect environment. Even in perfect environment, it is not good for man to be alone. Two, there was no helpmate corresponding to Adam in the animal kingdom. So God made for him a helpmate corresponding to him. Point three, it is in this one Hebrew word, ezer, God has given the first foundation regarding marriage, the role of a woman in life. And the first foundation is not authority, but a helpmate corresponding to him. Adam needed a human wife as a soul and body helpmate in perfect environment. Four, so, remember, in spite of all the jokes, all the criticisms, all the speculations, God made man where he would be in need of a woman. Five, the necessity of relationship. First Adam had an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. Then he made an intimate relationship with a woman. The first human relationship in all history was marriage between two people. The body of the man, Adam, was made by God out of the dust of the ground. But the body of the woman was made out of the rib of the man. The visible body and invisible soul of the woman were made to be a helpmate corresponding to the man. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed. This is a different Hebrew word than used in verse 18 when God made the woman. The woman, this word means to form, to fashion, to shape. The immaterial part of man and the woman changed with the fall. Loss of human spirit and the imputation of the original sin, the original sin nature, to the physical body of the man and the woman. Man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Wrong. This is a plural. Breath of lives. Physical, soul life, and spiritual life. The man became a living being. Now let's get down to verse 20. Genesis 2:20. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. I don't want to meditate on this. Yes?
Back to the piece where you said about the spirit?
The human spirit.
So it's the human spirit, so it's not the Holy Spirit.
No, it's the human spirit.
Okay.
And which will be lost at the fall. Okay. I don't want to spend much time, but let's note a few things. One of the most important studies in evolution is the study of the Bible. Of language. The study of language. If evolution were correct, which it is not, language would have evolved from poor language to superior. That's not what happened. In fact, language has gotten less refined over time. The fact that Adam named all the animals show the vastness of his language, and it did not gradually develop, but existed in perfect form. Man began on the earth with perfect intellect, perfect expression of that intellect in language. Think about it. He named all the birds of the sky. Would you quit flying around and nothing? I need to see how many y'all are. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. See? And he had a language for all of them. Okay. Now, continuing verse 20. But for Adam, there was not found a helper. Same Hebrew word as in Genesis 2:18. Suitable for him. A helpmate corresponding to him. Mankind is superior to animals. Now let's go to verse 21. So, seeing that condition, so the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the great physician, caused a deep sleep to fall on Jim Langston. No, not in what it says. Caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. He kept on sleeping. Supernatural anesthesiology. Then he, the Lord God, took one of his ribs, not just the rib, but also the flesh around the rib, and closed up the flesh at that place. Man is no longer physically complete in himself. There is always something missing. After that missing something can only be supplied and provided by a woman. The man is never complete without the woman. The purpose of the woman is to complement, to complete the man, to be a helpmate corresponding to him. God designed the marriage in perfect, wonderful, and fulfilling. Now verse 22. The Lord God fashioned. This word does mean to build. Ladies, I'm sorry. It means to build, to construct. Into a woman. The rib of the flesh with around it, which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The woman fulfills the man, and the man is completed by having the woman. Note also that it was the Lord God who brought the woman to the man. There are a few principles that come from the Lord bringing the woman to the man. One, in bringing Eve to Adam, God was performing the first marriage in history. It was as though he's giving the bride away and officiating. I did that. I gave Leslie away to Jerry, and then I stood up and I officiated their wedding. So that was really good. In fact, we had a lot of fun. We planned the wedding, and I had a wonderful wedding in the church. And at the wedding reception, I kind of emceed that. And then I went up to Jerry as it got late. I said, "Now, do you need me any more tonight?" He says, "You're fired." I went, "Wow, boy." All right. So, point two. Bringing the woman to the man also indicates divine delegation of authority to the husband over the wife. I'll comment more on that in a moment. Three, this also teaches that the man should be content and rest in the Lord, not get involved in promiscuity and go from bar to bar, just commit himself to the Lord, and he will, in all kinds of ways, in many different ways, bring to the man a woman to be a helpmate corresponding to him. Verse 23. And the man responded, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." Remember, the rib means the bone with the flesh around it. "Flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Genesis 2:23, the man said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." From the flesh of Adam, God made or built the flesh of the woman. From the bone of Adam's rib, God built the bone structure of the woman's body. Therefore, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The building of the woman's body was a miracle. Remember that in feeding the 4,000, Jesus Christ fed 4,000 with just 7 loaves and a few fish. Here he just has one rib with the flesh around it, and he builds this beautiful, wonderful woman corresponding to Adam. So just a small amount of Adam's flesh and bone, God built a woman. "She shall be called woman," Isha, "because she was taken out from man," Ish. This is beautiful in the Hebrew. "She" appears 3 times in verse 23. "She is now born of my bone. She shall be called," because she was taken out from man, taken, and at the end. It's at the word "she" is at the middle, at the beginning, middle, and end. She is taken out from taken from man, she. Alright, Revised Translation of verse 23. "And the man said, 'She is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because out from man has been taken she.'" Note the first word on the verse is "she." The last word in the verse is "she." "She shall be called woman." Kasuto, what to me, two of the greatest volumes on Genesis for the Hebrew structure is Kasuto's 2 volumes. Quote, "She is worthy of being called by the same name as I myself. That is to say, I have given names to all the living creatures, but I have not succeeded in finding one among them fit to be called by a name resembling mine. This indicating its kinship with me. She at last deserves to be given a name corresponding to my own." We do that in most weddings today. The woman takes the name of the last name of the husband. I remember in my I don't know, arrogant or bold or whatever, young. And I did a wedding, or one of the first few I did, and I was in the wedding rehearsal, and the woman, I was sitting in front of me, Mr. and Mrs. Saucer, she said, no, I'm keeping my own name. And I said, fine, if you'd rather be identified with your father than with your husband, if that's all right with him, it's all right with me. And I was surprised they let me do the wedding. I don't know, that just came out. It's not your name, it's his name given to you by your father. You want to be identified with your father? It's fine with me if it's okay with him. Or you want to be identified with your husband? Whatever you want to do. But they let me do the wedding, so that was all right. Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, does not say the woman should leave. This has caused a lot of speculation. And to me, the principle stands for the woman as it stands for the man. But I will have to admit, I don't know what it is in my makeup, but if a woman wants to return to her mother and father, I have no problem with that. But the man, no, you got to go out and do your own. There was sex before there were children. The Hebrew word for be joined is davhag, and is used as something sticking to or clinging to something else. It means to be glued together, to grow together into one body, to be intimately united as pictured in sexual relationship of the man and woman. God is the inventor of sex. Now, before I go any further, yes, it can be abused. Yes, it is abused with all kinds of sins, promiscuity, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, all these kind of things. That doesn't take away from God's wonderful design. This book is greatly abused. People are taught the false gospel. You've got to work to be saved. But that doesn't take away from the value and truth of this book. Now, let's continue. He designed sex for the physical enjoyment and for the oneness of the man and woman. I am so thankful that sex had nothing to do with the original sin, the fall of man. By the way, just thought I'd put it in, the original fall had to do with food. See? And there wasn't any bluebell ice cream in the garden either, but it was food. And just thought I'd throw that in. Now, the man and the woman were enjoying sex before the fall. Some teach that if you have sex, you are married before God. Well then, where does sin come in? No, having sex does not mean you're married. Having sex does not mean you are one with that person. Having sex does not mean there is love. Sex outside of marriage is sin. It is a search for sexual happiness, which distorts that sex out of marriage, distorts the sexual relationship between the husband and wife. Even before sex, promiscuity distorts the sex that you'll have in a marriage. Sex outside of the marriage, even when you're married, distorts sex in the marriage. It can distort it. You can distort the pleasure and enjoyment of the sexual relationship between the husband and wife. So many people today are unhappy in their sexual relationship and marriage, mainly because of sexual relationships before they ever married. There's no way that a man can complete another man's flesh, nor a woman complete another woman. Only male and female can become one flesh in marriage. What is interesting here is that God established the principle of marriage, of the home apart from in-laws. Before in-laws were ever existed, God laid it down. The grandness of the omniscience of God foresaw one of the great problems in marriage, interference of in-laws. Mother-in-law. Eh? That kind of thing. See? Of course, many young couples bring on this problem by depending on parents for such things as money and babysitter. Now, this phrase in verse 24 does not mean isolation from parents. People take these things and they overreact to it. Some people underreact, some people overreact. It doesn't mean isolation from the parents. What this verse is teaching is that marriage as a divine institution is based on privacy that causes all other human relationships to become secondary. Her parents with her relationship, his parents with his parents. Secondary now to their relationship with each other. God has instituted two private and intimate relationships in life. One is family, marriage and family, husband and wife. God ordained the human race to be trained and prepared for life by parents. That's why he designed family. Now, why is this so important to know and understand from the Bible? Because as the world moves toward globalization, the governments are taking more and more authority over the rearing of children. For an example, in Germany, you can Google this, homeschooling is against the law. It is the government's responsibility to rear your children. And they will take more and more authority over the children. What is so important to know here is that their justification for doing this is that the working of both parents means that they cannot oversee their children. So the government will do that for you. The woman, the mother works, the dad works, somebody's got to take care of them. It's us, the government. That's one of the responsibilities of parents, one of the great attacks on marriage in the world and in America. Whether you want it or not, whether you want their supervision or not. In America, leaders like Hillary Clinton are adamantly opposed to homeschooling. It's on record. She's made this very clear. They know that parents will not teach their children that globalization is best for them, that being patriotic to America and, God forbid, to a state like Texas is not good for their welfare. So, Satan understands God's design in marriage and family and has set out a worldwide movement to end both of these divine institutions, the marriage and the family. And he's doing a great job in America. The cosmic systems around the world understand God's design of marriage and family and moving to end both of these and make the state responsible for the rearing of children so they can indoctrinate them with their global propaganda. A good close study of what happened during World War II in Germany, Hitler's design that for the Aryan race, and that the soldier, the Nazi soldier, Aryan, could only marry an Aryan woman with no other blood in her, no Jew, no anything, had to be Aryan. And that was going to be the issue. And if you study carefully, the Nazi Aryan soldier have his sex with as many different women who are Aryan as he possibly can. And she is to permit that. And any parent who is against their daughter having sexual relationship out of marriage, they are taken care of. The parents are taken care of. This is one of the things you watch for the thing going on in history that feeds the whole idea of globalization. Don't just ask the question, is this candidate for political office for globalization? Also ask, what does he or she stand on homeschooling and paternal responsibility? I've beckoned the people who want to vote for Beto. Check him out on this. He doesn't believe in this. He doesn't agree with our stand on this issue. Know your Bible. Know God's design of the male, the female, marriage, and the family, of nationalism. And for the record, even in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, there will be nations on earth, many of which exist right now today. These nations will be here, marriage will be here, family will be here in the millennial reign. I do like to warn people, to warn you, to tell people, because you'll be back here on earth during the millennial reign. If you have any influence, just remind any young parent that their children will be there for 200 or 300 years. Because they're going to live for 1,000 years, so there'll be 200 or 300 years living at home. Be sure you want that. Okay, Genesis 25. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. The principle of completion of fulfillment in the first marriage. Just some summary principles. One, the woman is the completion or fulfillment of the man. This is demonstrated by the loneliness of the man in the garden. Then, the incompleteness of the man after the rib extraction. And how the woman came into existence by the hand of God. With just a few exceptions, like celibacy or extreme sacrifice by the man, no man is complete without a woman brought to him by the grace of God in divine providence. Two, while the man fulfills the woman completes the man. This is God's design in the divine institution of marriage. Three, there are four grace gifts from God. A, the woman as man's wife. In the garden, before in need of salvation, he built her, and this is the oldest gift in all history. B, salvation. He provides it. C, the Word of God. He thought it. D, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He supplies it. God supplies all our needs. 4, Adam did not design nor construct the woman. He was helpless, just as we are helpless without Jesus Christ. Helpless without the Word of God. Helpless without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But God, the compassionate, merciful, omniscient God, designed and brought about these wonderful blessings to man. A woman, salvation by grace through faith, His Word, and the Holy Spirit. So people, whenever you think of marriage, think of the wonders of God. 5, marriage was established by God in the garden, in the first dispensation, the dispensation of innocence. God also provided salvation for man in the same dispensation after the fall of man. 6, marriage became a divine institution when God created and brought the woman to man. And it has remained a divine institution throughout all history in every dispensation up until and including the last one, the millennium. 7. Now here's the genius of God. Marriage was originally designed for two perfect people. But after the fall into sin, marriage continued. Only now designed for two imperfect people. An imperfect man and an imperfect woman. Each having inherited sin natures with different trends. We should never make friends or select a wife or a husband based on compatible sin natures. Compatible sin natures simply means friends today, failure tomorrow. Therefore, when selecting a wife or husband, we should pay close attention to the sinful trends of the other person, but also their integrity, their commitment to Christ, their personalities. Remember, you're going to be living with this person for the rest of your life. But also remember, there is no such thing as a perfect husband or a perfect wife. They do not exist. But neither are you. So just get over it and get with it. You are not perfect either. How wonderful it is to take your differences, your arguments, your disagreements to God together in prayer. Learn to forgive each other and laugh with each other. Not at each other, with each other. Be sure you read and don't exegete this yourself. All right, point 8. It is very important to remember that marriage was not designed, even in the beginning, for happiness. This is a very important point. So Let me repeat that. It is very important to remember that marriage was not designed, even in the beginning, for happiness. It was designed for completion, fulfillment, finding and being a helpmate. The idea that marriage brings happiness is a myth that has caused many a divorce. Christian, your happiness is from your relationship with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Never forget the words of our Savior friend Jesus Christ in John 15:11. These things, teaching by Jesus Christ, I have spoken to you so that my joy in our happiness may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you. You have to know the Word of God, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Take courage, I have overcome the world. So people, your inner happiness and your inner peace is not dependent on another person. I'm going to say that in a moment, but let me just tell you. Don't do that to the other person. That's unfair. That's unfair to them. For you to put your need of happiness and peace on them. You have to have your peace, your inner happiness, yourself. Now let's see how this works out. So each of us individually have our own peace and inner happiness from our relationship with our Savior friend, Jesus the Christ. It is not only wrong, but unfair to put the burden of your happiness, your inner peace, on someone else. Or on your wife, on your husband, on your parents. Didn't put that in, but them too. While we are here, do not allow your husband or wife to take away your peace and inner happiness. I've seen that happen. People get married and they take their own spiritual inner peace, inner happiness, and the other person just beats them down, takes it away from them. Do not depend on them for it, but do not allow them to take it away from you. This is why, in God's original design, the woman is a helpmate to her husband and he to her. There will be times, perhaps often, when the husband or the wife will be in need of a helpmate to encourage them through difficult times, to encourage them to get back into the filling of the Spirit, not to be a burden and to keep them down. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Don't keep them down. Lift them up. Get them back to where their happiness is not from you. Their peace is not from you, and you know that. Their peace and their happiness is a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Get them back into that. Point 9. Happiness, and by the way, I'm very thankful to Kit putting this in printed form. You can take this home now, go over it, and over it, and maybe share it with some young people. 9. Happiness in marriage, each person brings their own happiness into the marriage. If you're not happy in your marriage, do not blame the other person. So many people marry to find happiness are disappointed when they do not find it. Many people divorce to find happiness, only to discover they take their unhappiness with them. Being single or being married is not a requirement for happiness. Happiness is for every believer, regardless of circumstances in life. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you desire inner happiness, inner peace, don't look to another human being, but look to the Holy Spirit. Inner happiness, inner peace, are fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. 10. So, when a man with inner happiness and a woman with inner happiness come together in a marriage, they can really enjoy each other and enjoy the institution of marriage. It is what you bring into your marriage that is important, not what you get out of it. What do you bring into the marriage? Do you bring happiness? Do you bring peace? Do you bring encouragement into the marriage? And 11, there are 3 stages of the first marriage from which we are given a great deal of precedence. A, the stage of perfection, where the husband and wife enjoyed each other and enjoyed sexual relationship. But always remember that it was in the stage of perfection that Adam and Eve sinned. B, the stage of spiritual death. Spiritual death did not neutralize the marriage between the man and woman. Secondly, the very important in our study in Colossians 3:18, it is in this stage that God put the woman under the authority of the husband. We'll study this in a moment. Genesis 3:16, here it is. To the woman he said. Now, Genesis 3:16 gives God's declaration to Satan after the fall, to the woman, and to the man. We learn a lot from those declarations. Here's what he had to say to the woman after the fall. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children. It is this stage that sex took on a new role. Along with enjoyment of sex, sex is now necessary for the bearing of children. Two women cannot bear children, two men cannot bear children. That's not God's design. A man and a woman. See? And so it requires sex. Yet, continuing, your desire, listen now, ladies, this is from Scripture. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. There you have it. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourself. Where does that come from? It came from the fall. Your desire will be for your husband, this is God speaking, and you and he will rule over you. God's own word. Sex is not does not lose its original design and purpose as being the confined intimacy between a husband and wife. And neither one is to have sex out of marriage. Now, we'll come back to this, but I just want you to know what is interesting. Did man have authority over his wife in the garden before the fall? Here it's after the fall. And he will rule over you. Conclusion, he did not have authority over her. All right. Now, the man section, the first thing in the man section in Genesis 3 is because you listened to the words of your wife. So, there's a debate. Did he have authority over her? Did she have authority over him? I don't think either one had authority. But he let her have authority over him, and therefore he has to work and work and work. That's the judgment. Again, the woman is to have children in great pain. What's beautiful about the woman's part, I'm told, and the Bible says it, the moment you give birth, the pain's gone. You forget the pain and the smiles and the joy of holding that little baby. And I can understand that. So, but you give, you have the enjoyment of sex and the pain of childbirth, but you're always under the authority of your husband. The husband's responsibility? Work. Plow the field. Work the ground. Go out and kill the monster and skin him. She can cook him if she wants, but you've got to kill him, shoot him, and skin him. See? So, there's a God's wonderful plan right from the beginning. Now, some points A and B from above are repeated before presenting subpoint C. I guess that's what I did on. Okay. A, the stage of perfection, mankind, body, soul, and spirit. The stage of spiritual death, mankind now, just body and soul. Now, the stage of regeneration. That's what I did, just to bring it back. Stage of perfection, stage of spiritual death, stage of regeneration, restoration of the human spirit. Alright? One. Marriage between one man, one woman, still in effect after the divine institution of marriage. Under the divine institution of marriage after regeneration. Two. The wife is still under the authority of the husband. Colossians 3:18. Which, by the way, we'll get to next. So I shouldn't say that. You won't be here. So, three. The husband and the wife shall be joined together, and they become one flesh. Four, sex is still confined to husband and wife, and for enjoyment and procreation. Sex before the fall, after the fall, is either legitimate sex between man, one husband, and one wife, or illegitimate sex, which can be premarital, postmarital. And whether or not a man or woman believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, they remain under the divinely established boundaries of marriage and sex. The divine institution of marriage is designed for both the unbeliever and the believer. Remember that illegitimate sex always distorts the role of sex and can do great harm in the sex of a marriage. Adultery does harm in many ways. It can damage the soul of the other person. It can do great harm to the sexual pleasure with your husband and wife. You cannot maintain intimacy in a marriage without privacy, and adultery destroys that intimacy, therefore the marriage itself. 5, they now help each other in their Christian spirit-filled life to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to glorify Christ. And finally, point 12, the blessing of intimacy between a husband and wife, which is manifested by sexual relationship, provides fulfillment that they will never have in any other relationship. When God designed the body of the male and the body of the female, He designed their bodies so that physically neither the male nor the female is complete without the other. God designed sex for the completion of the two bodies by designing them to become one. Mormonism, Islam are violations of God's design of one man for one woman for one man. These and any other ideology that allows multiple sex is a satanic attack against the divine institution of marriage. People get involved with these religions and with all forms of sexual perversions, like homosexuality and lesbianism, because they do not honor God, as sovereign authority over their lives. If a woman does not submit to the authority of God, why should she submit to the authority of her husband? And if a man does not love God, why should he love the woman, his wife? Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, compassion, mercy, loving kindness, long suffering, slow to anger, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that darkness will reveal itself in the way they handle marriage, sex, relationships with each other, and nationalism. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Finally, 13, the foundation of marriage is Jesus Christ, who performed the first marriage in history. A study of Ephesians 5:22-33, Colossians 1:18-19, makes it clear that the relationship between the husband and wife are patterned after the woman and the man's relationship with Christ. The husband is to love his wife as Jesus Christ loved the church. The woman is to submit to her husband as the church is submissive to Christ. The divine institution of marriage is designed by God for the stability of society itself and for the completion of the man and woman. In youth, sex is important, but as you grow older, soul rapport takes the place of sex in both the protection and fulfillment of the man and the woman. Any questions? Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. We just stand amazed. Just amazed And what a genius our God is in your designs, in your creation, how you oversee these things through history. We praise you, Father. We're so thankful that you're our God, the true God. We praise you. We praise your omniscience. You're all-knowing. Knowing in creation of the universe, of the earth, of the human body, the male body, the female body, the male soul, the female soul. We just praise you, Father. And then, Father, we praise you and we thank you that you've let us know these things. That you let us know why you created the world as you did. Why you created the man body. Why you created the female body. Why? And then, Heavenly Father, the encouragement and the beckoning for us to adjust our lives accordingly. And as Christians, you've given to us the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing. You've covered it from A to Z. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. I pray, Father, your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.